The footy's on Triple M.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Come on,
this is the Sunday Run.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yes, that's it. Welcome along to a Sunday. Hope you're having a ripping Sunday wherever you're listening around Victoria, around Australia, around the world. 2 hours and 20 minutes time. Carlton take on the West Coast Eagles at the SCG of all places. That is the world in which we live. Before then, so much to get through. Fantastic doco on 7 last night. Ripping show called The Ripple Effect. The man that heavily involved in producing that, Nathan Lovett Murray, and the former Bomber to talk us all about that. Pump Up the Duck, Deflate Nate, Jay-Z's Big Three. We'll speak to a Collingwood player as well. The Stock Exchange, drilling deep with Ross Lyon and the quiz. And I can't go any further because I always thought Ross Lyon was a real sort of serious, quite boring operator. And he's adjusted his chair where he's about a foot and a half high, Brownie. And it's pretty hard to get through the intro when that type of gear's going.
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, Howie.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Just trying to get comfortable.
What are you doing, Ross?
Well, you had what? You rest your feet on last week, Jose. You had the Buffon. What do they call those things?
A Buffon is your hair, Ross.
A buffet.
Yeah, that's it. Hello, Duck, captain of the team. How are you,
Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners. Good to be here. Going through that wave that we're all going through here in Victoria at the moment.
Yes.
Up 1 minute, down the next.
At least you're having an up moment.
I'm on the downward spiral, actually. It's been very quiet. Good to be. You know what? We're one of the lucky ones. We're still going to work, and so we should be.
It's exactly right,
Duck. Be happy.
You got to look for the positives, Howard.
Yes,
and
Noodles.
I come to work, and I love what I do. I love the chemistry we have here on a Sunday. Friday nights we do.
Oh yes.
Sunday morning with the Sunday Footy Show. Good chemistry. So I feel like I work with the best people in the business, and we're lucky to do it. And we watch football for a living. So I am on a positive spin, Howard.
I like it.
You've just lifted me, Brownie.
Yes. How are you, Roscoe?
Based on that, I need to have a good look in the mirror. I was misery guts last week. I did predict we'd have another week of lockdown, so no need to give me kudos on that. Howie?
And Jay-Z is what...
In terms of Ross's predictions, I mean, a call for Scott Pendlebury, the captain of Collingwood, to be moved back to halfback.
Yes.
What did we see? I mean, that looked
blind
like
Freddie could have seen that one, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z's,
what else did we call for?
Jay-Z's wandered in.
Yes.
In a very short pair of shorts, Nate. You're our fashion man.
Well, they're like 1970s, like running shorts, aren't they?
Junction Oval, 1983. Grant Sticks Lurie would have had
them
on.
What are they, man?
Like, right up to the hip.
Yeah,
big split.
It's something Mickey Roberts would wear.
What's going on there, man?
Well, it is a Puma running short. And
you're after aerobics, I think. I think that's what you're doing.
Probably where you're going wrong. You should be wearing Nike.
Oh, here we
go. Well, after 3 years of being fat-shamed by Howie, I developed a complex. And so now I've got to exercise every day because I know when I come here on Sunday, Howie's going to make these cheap gags and make me feel really sort of, he's got to question my self-esteem about how I look. And come across as this everyday sort of good guy and a person of high moralistic value. And now you're revealed as a what? What'd you call it?
A fattest.
That's not true. I'll say is I'm happy if you're happy.
I'm good, mate.
And a couple of times last year, I don't think you were happy.
Well, I got a nice high short on today, so we're good.
Jack Crisp just had word that the Crisper is joining us on the show
good
out
player.
Of Collingwood, which is fantastic. We'll get to the footy in a moment.
Very good player.
Very, very, very good player. How many games he's played? 160 games 100, in a row.
Yeah, nearly 160. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Duck, last week we played some audio, which we don't need to go over today, but Nath was naming the top five paid personalities in football. Mm. You had Duck listed. Didn't quite make the top five, did he? He was in...
I reckon he was around number eight. Just below Wispy Watson.
You had him on about 600,000 a year. Now, I was interested.
I'll tell
you why we're telling about that crap, because we then went on Friday night and our man Nath went through the top five paid journos. And I'm just looking to my man at the left here who's given the old, I didn't hear this, I don't know, as every journo. The people in Fox Footy yesterday, the information that was trading around and the looks that they were giving saying, geez, I didn't know Robbo was on that much. How does Jared feel that Robbo's on this? Like, they were seriously taking it. But this is what you had to say about our little high-shorted operator, Jay Clark. Our man on Sunday, who's heavily involved with this station, he was hoping to be in the top five, Jay Clark. How far down and what type of figures? Because I know you did everybody's figures. Where was Clarkie coming in?
Yeah, I had him at about 150 at the Herald Sun.
Oh, no.
And 100 here at Triple M. So around 250.
Right.
And the podcast that he used to do with Pendle is that Pendle doesn't want to do anymore. He's missing out on that as well. So I got you about 250, Jay. Yeah. There's been a lot of people, and I thought I was being generous with wages, but the amount of people private messages say, you got me low,
unders.
You got me unders, and it looks like from Jay's body language that I've got him unders as well.
Well, I feel terrible. I thought that was ranking when you first went.
Yeah, that was
so did I, Ross, to be honest, on the night.
I need to catch up with the podcast.
$50,000 a year for what he does at one organisation, which saying it now sounds a bit low, to be honest, so I don't know why I didn't have you higher.
I need to catch up on that podcast. Haven't quite heard. I can give you some real accurate feedback on whatever you've dished out there, Brownie. So that'll be interesting.
All right. I guess we should talk about anything else you want to talk about, Duck, or should we talk about some football?
No,
you just look a bit
running,
down.
You're running the show.
You just look a bit
you
down.
You shouldn't look down. Because you're 50 and you look just like a human Adonis.
You're
young. You look like you're about 35. I know you dabbled in the wrinkle injections there for a while and then you did away with them, but you look good. You've got a lot to be happy about, Duck.
Thanks, Brent. You know what? You've got Ross and I both up today. Thank you.
You do. You look good. You've got beautiful families,
yes,
which is fantastic. Which is fantastic. Did you drink that bottle of wine and got
tricky.
You for your birthday?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Was it nice?
It was absolutely delicious.
Magnificent.
Thank you, Howie.
Right, I'm happy to hear that. So get up, Duck. I like your positivity today, Noodles.
What about
all right.
Our man Ross there, obviously there's a lot of rumours about him maybe being the Collingwood coach next year. He's given away all his secrets. Move Pendlebury to half back. And Bucks has gone, that sounds like a good one. I'm going to keep Ross at bay. I'm going to put him in half back. And all of a sudden, how good do they go?
I think I heard you say bring Elliot back in.
Play him out of the square. Yeah.
You're talking yourself out of a job.
Maybe even play with a little bit more energy centre forward after your probe.
Just take it on a little bit
more. So you think the Collingwood Brains Trust are listening
to the
Sunday
Rup
podcast?
Exactly. They want to be in the positions they're in next year. So they're just taking what Ross is saying and putting it into action, and it's working.
Yeah, I like it. Dreamtime last night outside of Victoria. Last year it was in Darwin. I thought, gee, that's going to be hard to top Jay-Z. And I got home last night, had a nice curry with the family after work, and I turned on the pregame. The football was fantastic, and I thought, gee, Western Australia and the 7 Network have done a magnificent job. In fact, when I was in at Fox yesterday, the Channel 7, just to take you behind the scenes in television, the Channel 7 director and producer, Greg Smith, old part-time postal at Channel 7, they were rehearsing the pre-game. So they had stand-in musicians up on the stage and they were rehearsing the whole thing. It was fantastic. WA put their best foot forward last night, Clark.
Yeah, it certainly was really clear that they were making a fair dinkum statement about their capacity to hold a grand final, and particularly at night time with the lighting and the smart lights that they've got and the different colouring, etc. And then with the pre-game entertainment with John Butler Trio and Ziggy Ramo is absolutely fantastic. They were saying quite clearly, if Melbourne cannot hold the grand final at the MCG, then we are ready and waiting. It is a world-class stadium, Ross. You know it better than any of us, but it is as good as anything going around in the world. So that was...
Or was it just a magnificent showing of what and the esteem that they put their Indigenous players? Because let's be honest, a lot of the Indigenous boys have come from Perth and absolutely brilliant. And I thought the way they backed that up. So the occasion, I thought, Howie.
Yes.
So would a grand final be different to something like that?
Because they're a mad football
public. No, I know that. I know they are. But I just thought, you know, Longy being over, Gavin Wanganeen and Michael... Who's one of the greatest players? I think Derek Kickett, Michael Long said. Derek Kickett and someone else said that he was the best Indigenous player.
Stephen Michael. Yeah, a lot of people said.
And he was there. I mean, they just got behind it. It was superb. I agree.
But it is a stadium built for the night.
It is.
If you want to make the most of it, if they got it, it would be a night grand final. The lighting set up for it. The whole platform, the whole city's designed for that stadium for a night grand final.
Because as a cricket stadium, I got there for the first time and was completely underwhelmed. I was like, oh, gee. Mm. Then you go there for a night game of football and you go, yep, that's what this show is.
Yeah, it's slick. They can roll out a show.
There's a lot of supporters over there who barrack for Victorian clubs dating back to pre-AFL days. So they do have big followings over there. The Essendon following the other night was probably bigger than Richmond's.
Yeah.
They do have a huge following over there in WA, Brownie, the Joe. Bombers. So,
I don't need my points reiterated.
Speaking to
they stand alone.
Well, it sort of fell a bit flat, so I was just trying to jump in, Brownie.
I went to duck first, he gave nothing.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit of a gap in the broadcast there for a moment, wasn't there? Guru.
Trying to save you, Nathan, to be honest.
In your funny shorts.
And speaking to the clubs, they had a brilliant experience. So it is a bit about the customer service as well, and the clubs were certainly absolutely wrapped with how last night played out. I mean, the significance of Richmond's final quarter performance is also big because their season roars back to life because they were seriously challenged there by the Essendon team. Phillips had a shot, could have made it even more interesting, but they clicked into gear. I think they kicked the last 7 goals. And Shai Bolton, it was hard to miss the performance, Brownie.
Yep.
He probably had the best 30 seconds of individual play of the season last night. Took that unbelievable mark, which was disallowed because of a Riewoldt push, and then got back on his feet, kicked that goal, spinning to his left. It was phenomenal. Now, he could go to any club he wanted. He could write his own check. Do you think you're thinking he stays at Richmond on less to be part of this continued premiership dynasty, or does he assess his options?
If I was his mentor,
yep,
I'd say stay and enjoy the ride, son. I think they've got another flag or two in them, and there is no substitute for success, and the money will come, and after tax it's marginal, and then the misery of, you know, sometimes flying on a losing yep. flight back home, and that's pretty tough.
You've always got to remember that the support he's got around him. So he's not the number one man at that footy club. Yes, he's clearly showing that he's got unbelievable talent, but he's got so much other talent that take the focus off him in that club. If he goes to another club, a lesser club, that where he becomes more of a main focus, I think you'd see a different player.
But this year, he's shown us that he can win games. So it's been Dustin Martin winning games. There's been a couple of times this year he's been the match winner. Dustin helped him last night. But he's in good hands too. Don't forget who's his manager. And then there's Ralph Carr. And Ralph Carr only has a small stable, but he cares for them and he grows them outside the game. What he's done for Dusty has been enormous. But Ralph Carr, remember, he held off Dusty's contract. He held off. GWS came with a big offers. North Melbourne came with a big offers. Just slowly, Richmond's prices went up and up and up.
He was never leaving Richmond.
That's exactly what Ralph Carr would be doing now. I mean, if he's going to get offered 800 somewhere else, I think he stays at Richmond for 650 or 700. I think the 150, as Ross said, after tax, I think he stays at Richmond because they are, I think they could win the premiership again this year.
What about the two big boys, Brownie? Callum Coleman-Jones is a forward target, and then Marby Ochoa played one of his best games last night. Halfback, ruck, those intercept marks. I mean, how do they keep all these guys?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep all those guys. And if I was another club, I'd be looking at Chole. I'd be looking at Coleman-Jones because I know that there was talk around Riewoldt, I guess, retiring or going on the footy club, but I can't see that happening. I thought that was a bit over the top from Kane Corns, but try and figure out how you play Coleman-Jones with Riewoldt and Lynch. Riewoldt's probably got another season left, but I'd be trying to hold on to Coleman-Jones because he can play.
And further that, if you drill a little bit deeper, I know we're talking about the players. If I was a club that's been struggling and I'd be going, who's recruiting? Who's their recruiting team? What's their methodology? Let's get to them because, there's a few.
Right?
Well, clearly over a period of time, I think Melbourne, who's in charge there, because if you don't get your recruiting right, all the plans, all the coaching, it doesn't matter. That's where I'd be diving into.
You'd have the best game plan in the world. That's Blair Hartley and Matty Clark doing their top job at Richmond. Do you want to hear from Damien Hardwick, Howie?
Why not, Guru? Why not?
It was interesting that Darcy Parrish was voted best on ground. Did you think he was the best man?
I've got to be honest with you. I went to bed just after half time. I was tired.
I watched the second half. He was pretty impressive.
44 possessions, the most ever for a Bomber player.
He's having some extraordinary season. Let's have a listen to Damien Hardwick. Firstly, at three-quarter time and what he changed, and then on Darcy Parrish and his phenomenal performance and improvement last night.
Unfortunately, it was a bit of a, not an error on my part, but we sort of knew Essendon would push hard forward at three-quarter time into the last quarter, and I sort of forgot to mention that to the players and probably caught us off guard a little bit with regard to our preparation defensive setup for that. So I was a little bit disappointed myself, but the players got it together by the end and we managed to get the result, which is a lot better. You know, I think he had 25 to half time and we sort of thought, oh, what do we do about it? But we generally don't tag those sort of players and we sort of understand they're going to get a certain amount of possessions. But, you know, with McGrath going down early, we thought, do we look at stamping him? But we wanted to back in our system, back in our style of play, and the situation is we won the game, so he was really, really damaging. He's outstanding around clearance. God, that kid's come on a hell of a lot, and is a really impressive player for the Bombers this year.
Great stuff. And he is killing it, Darcy Parrish. Just before we go to break, something I should have told you about at the start here, Duck, you're a little bit flat. I'll give you something where you realise that other people are in a slightly more difficult position. I was watching the golf very early this morning.
Yeah, I was up early. I know the story.
Now, your man, John Rahm, the Spaniard, he's top five player in the world. He is leading at Muirfield, right? The Memorial. The prized money to win it is $2.2 million. He completes the third round, Noodles, your man.
Six strokes up?
Yes, Duck. Six strokes up. So he's leading the tournament by six strokes.
By six.
Mm-hmm. Correct. He's got 18 holes to go for a $2.2 million win. They tap him on the shoulder as he's walking off the green and say, unfortunately, your COVID test has come in positive. You now need to withdraw from the tournament. So, Duck, when you come in a little bit flat, Johnny Rahm's got 2.2 in the back pocket. Unusually, now, obviously here in Victoria, golf would be banned for 6 months. Over there in the United States, the tournament goes ahead, and his caddy and the tour official both hug him to say, Johnny, we hope you're okay, as they're telling him he's got a positive COVID test.
And why would he have to withdraw anyway? Why couldn't he
suit up?
Couldn't people just keep 3 metres away from him? Yeah. Or maybe even four?
Well, you'd imagine the people that played with him yesterday and the day before and the day before, but they play on
there. Or if you wanted to be safe, five?
Maybe.
Or 6 metres?
You want to keep going, Duck, with this or not?
Just stay away from him? Let him play his golf?
Put him in one of those hazmats.
Hazmats. Yeah. Well, he's six shots up. Anyway, he loses 2.2. So everyone, there's always someone that's slightly more worse off.
Always comes back to cash with Howie, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought there was going to be something a bit deeper.
Don't worry about the recognition of winning the tournament.
The recognition I want is going in to see the bank manager and handing him, there's the 2.2.
Now you can listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are and whenever you want.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
All right, big boy.
One of the most extraordinary things of Collingwood's performance yesterday, Howie, is that actually spent the best part of 5 hours waiting around for the game. Mm. So the Collingwood players were basically housed in, having landed around about 10 a.m. Adelaide time, were then housed in basically the SACA, or South Australian Cricket Facility, where they basically kicked around and watched the NBA and meditated and ate food for the best part of 4 hours. Then went into the change rooms and had to prepare for the win. And then, as Ross Lyon touched on before, showed that they were willing and prepared to take more risks and were more fluent in the forward half of the ground. And yes, Adelaide probably took control throughout that middle part of the game. But when Jamie Elliott kicked six goals in his first game back from his broken leg in round two, was a pretty extraordinary performance, Ross. But what did you see in that win? Because they come up against the Melbourne team on Queen's birthday with a lot more confidence and mojo in their game.
Mm. I thought Collingwood would go over there and win. I liked their ins. I liked Elliott in. Potentially Pendlebury going to half back. But the week before, and the reasoning for that was Richmond, who don't take many uncontested marks, they took 139 uncontested marks. Collingwood took 42 in the first quarter. So there's a bit about Adelaide, their inability to defend kick mark teams, and particularly they gave up the corridor. So when they play teams like Melbourne, better defensive teams like Brisbane, and Geelong, they won't be able to get through the corridors easily. As evidence against Port, they had to go around and no one really scored. So I think Adelaide gave them the opening. They're good enough to take it. The positional moves helped. And I think the art form with that style of game, and Eagles do it incredibly well. Even Melbourne are controlling in the back half a little bit. They've taken it. But knowing when the splits are on, you've probed, you've separated defence, when to take those handball splits. With Geelong, every team goes in and out of that balance, but they struck a better balance last night.
How would you have handled the four-hour wait for the players?
Ooh. Well, it's interesting.
What are you saying? Switch off?
Maybe that's their model, isn't it? You know, so that you can't be overbearing. You just need to set up an environment. And everyone's personality is different. Like, even within this team, you know, we have the introverts, you have the extroverts. So those that want to bang around and play table tennis, those that just want to sit and watch TV or listen to music, you've got to give them their space. You've got to let the individual prepare in the manner that's required for them. And then at the right time, the team function takes over.
Let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley after the 5-point win on how tricky that was before the game.
The most difficult part of it is we were tested in Victoria yesterday, and then we were tested again when we landed in South Australia. And the reason we had to come over earlier was for everyone to get a negative test landing in South Australia. So that was the reason for being here so early. So We sat around the indoor cricket area, Saka indoor cricket area, for 3.5 hours. Had a feed. Boys were getting up and having walks and stretches periodically, but there was a fair bit of downtime there. But we got to 2 o'clock, got to the change rooms, and then it was normal prep after that.
The feed of all the cricket grounds you go to in Australia, the chicken and plum sauce at the Adelaide. I don't know. We'll have to ask Jack Crisp if that's what they got into. I know you're trying to talk serious football, but Ross, the chicken and plum sauce at the Adelaide Oval is known.
Does it have white with rice? No, it's that good.
It's known chicken throughout the cricket world when you get to Adelaide Oval is the chicken and plum. So we'll have to talk a bit crisper about that.
Nathan Brown, you being a gun small forward, almost a bit of Jamie Elliott in you. How do you rate Jamie Elliott as a small forward? He probably hasn't been one who's been widely recognised as one of the best in the competition, but yesterday he won that game for Collingwood, especially that last goal, bursting out of the centre square, kicked the goal. How do you rate him?
Well, he's not recognised because of the injuries he's had, so I think if he had had a clean run at it and played year after year, 22 games a year, we'd be speaking about Jamie Elliott a lot more and a lot higher. Yesterday, he came in fresh and he just showed us what he can do. What he is good, I think he's 175, 176 centimetres, so he's not a tall man, but he plays above in height, and I think he's very, very good over height, overhead. I think Brad Johnson was very similar to that, very good pound for pound overhead at the Bulldogs, and that's when he went forward, was able to kick big goals for the Western Bulldogs. And yesterday, the most important thing about Jamie Elliott was he nailed his goals. 4 set shots in the first quarter, nailed every one of them. He's a star.
Kick 6 straight. When his body is sound, he's one of the best small forwards, always has been. Right from the start.
Yeah, and I remember coaching against them when they were at their best in that run, whatever it was, 18. So you had him, who was really quick. You had Hoskin Elliott, that was quick.
De Goey,
and then the kid that went to North Melbourne, Stevenson, was lightning quick as well. And Majacek then come in with the tall, so they got a little bit of that speed back.
This is Nathan Buckley on that. Jamie Elliott, a phenomenal performance, particularly after such a long breakout.
To kick 6 goals, and we threw him through the midfield at various times as well. But obviously, he's not a young player anymore. He's had a lot of experience. His talent is unquestioned, and his smarts, in front of the ball, we've missed. But to be able to have that sort of impact coming straight back, I mean, it's a credit to him. It's a credit to our medical and fitness staff that they were able to get him in that sort of shape.
St Kilda season, if I can move on, Howie, hanging in the balance. If Carlton win today, they fall to 13th. Had some opportunities against Sydney yesterday. It was the Swans in the end by 9 points. We've spoken a lot about goal kicking this year. And Jack Higgins, we're calling him Missy Higgins now, 1 goal sick.
I did hear that headline. Actually, you guys went with that.
It was
on the
Sunday Footy Show,
Sunday
Jay,
Footy
but you
show
come in
well.
With the late news.
Yeah. It is a, he was crestfallen at the end of the game, having missed some opportunities to win the game. Let's have a listen to the coach, Brett Ratten, who was a bit more glass half full on his small forward after yesterday's loss.
It's more around the process and going back, and that's his craft. He's a dangerous small forward. He gets lots of shots at goal, and to get 7 shots at goal, he's probably going to be best on if he kicks 6-1 instead of 1-6. So he's had a fair game, but he just hasn't done the last part of it, and that's put the ball through the sticks. But that's part of the game. He's a professional. He needs to keep working hard, and sometimes you have days where it just doesn't happen for you. But he just needs to get his routine right, and he's just one of a number of players that we're still working through that as well.
But it compounds for them now, because there's been a couple of times this year and over the last few years, obviously King had an issue earlier on in the season. He's kicked 4 goals, 15, I think, for the last month. Now Jack Higgins has done it. So when they get their chance in front of goal this week, you'd hope that they're not going to be thinking about what's happened in previous weeks, because if they are, it's going to happen again, because it's in mental, it's in their psyche at the moment. So they've just got to try and clear their heads this week.
I do agree with what Brett Ratten said. He was best on if he'd kick straight, no question. He played a very, very good game. What I will say about young King is he looks a shattered man at the moment. Well, not even a shattered man. He's still a kid.
Well, they're saying he's playing with a back injury, so shouldn't have played.
Well, therefore,
he did dig in. He brought it to ground a couple of times.
Yeah, and he took that one big mark.
Doesn't look that mobile, does he?
It's his body language to me, and once again, we're just watching the screen, so it would be more evident, obviously, if you were there to watch it in person, but he looks really flat. Now, the problem is, in terms of confidence, he's not playing VFL because you're not playing VFL at the moment, so you can't go back and get confidence.
Let him run around.
Playing.
Let him put him on a wing like Cox. Well, he's the same height, same athleticism, super athlete. Let him run. He'll put like
Release
Cox is yeah. Cox is pushing forward and coming in on the off ball side, the blind side, and launching 10 meters out a lot. I think King's got a tank.
It's just whether he's got that in his craft. Like, has he ever played mid as a junior? Does he know how to find the footy?
Mate. You went in their grand final. You found it five times in a minute.
I know it's not that hard.
the headline, Missy Higgins. So that's someone at Channel 9 Footy Show's got that out, have they, Nath?
TJ ran with it off the top.
Right. Yeah. So because I'm just looking at your man Andrew Wu, who went with it at 4:59 yesterday afternoon in The Age. But
correct.
Well, glad we're concerned about players' mental health, isn't it? Channel 9, just maybe Andrew Wu.
That your man TJ might have ripped it off, is what I'm sort of trying to say to you, Brownie.
Can we just talk...
Jay's ripped it off him.
Okay, so it's a rip of a rip of a rip.
I just want to talk about his misses. You can miss, but you got to...
I'm going
back.
No, your misses are goal. No, not misses. Misses. Right.
Yeah, let's keep... Yeah, I know I'm the Sunday rub.
Gee,
not
whiz.
His misses.
Okay.
He's wrestling us there a bit, Howie. No, let's talk about his...
His inaccuracy.
His inaccuracy in front of goal. You can handle them missing, but it was the way he missed. Yeah. Once you see the player starting to speed up their routine and want to get to it quick... That they're bad. Go through your routine. Like, he's a little pro. I remember interviewing him for the draft period, and he had a footy in his hands in his hallways. There was cherries all on the plaster. So it shocked me that he wasn't able to compose himself and execute when that's his actual one wood, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard he trains harder than anyone and goes outside the club to improve himself. He just lives and breathes footy.
If anything, he overtrains. They have to try and get him to wander back a bit. That's how he does train. Unfortunately for the Saints also, Jaron Geary, co-captain, off with a shoulder injury. He's just had a shocking run of luck. They'll miss his leadership. Could be a fair stint on the sidelines. And you mentioned Max King. So he is carrying a back injury. Brett Ratten confirmed. So he could also be...
They've got to get him right then because, like I said, he just looks flat.
Yeah. Yep.
And Jaron Geary, I just really worry about him. He's broken legs. You know, at the age, like,
what about
you got a life after
the
footy.
Thigh
He's
injury.
At that point. He needs to think about it. You know,
that thigh injury that he had.
That was horrendous horrific. Injuries. Yeah.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
How can I mark that with my eyes closed?
Triple M rocks footy.
Sunday rub leading up to Carlton versus West Coast at the SCG directly after the Dreamtime game last night. And I was watching a documentary called The Ripple Effect, put together by the great man Pete Dixon, Dixon Films, in conjunction with the St Kilda Football Club, Vic Health, and led by the St Kilda Indigenous Liaison Officer Nathan Lovett Murray Aird. Make sure you get a chance to see it. I'm sure it'll be on 7, Mate, etc. It's called The Ripple Effect, maybe even on 7 Plus. And the man that heavily involved in the show, and I think he called the footy last night for NIRS as well, is Nathan Lovett Murray himself. Nath, welcome to the Sunday Rub. Mark Howard here. Great to speak to you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. No, great to be here.
Hey, great to have a chat. For those that didn't have the opportunity or haven't seen The Ripple Effect yet, what was the premise going into making the documentary? What were the documentary makers, you and Dicko, et cetera, and the Saints trying to achieve?
Yeah, I guess, from my time at Essendon, I was involved with Michael Long when he did the Long Walk, and I was also involved in the educational program, Walk the Talk, and it was an education program that we would take into schools and talk about Longy's story. And then so when I started working at the Saints a couple of years ago, I spoke to Matt Binnis about the idea of, you know, can we do something similar for Nicky Wimmer because of his, you know, significant gesture, you know, he's pointing out his skin and standing up for racism. And, you know, I felt like the footy club could probably do something in that space and develop this schools program. And so, you know, Matt loved the idea and, I was able to get some funding through Vic Health and a couple of other organisations and took the idea to Pete Dixon and, you know, he loved it. We've been working on it for the last 2 years and then, you know, we finally was able to air it last night on Channel 7 and, you know, very proud of the work that Pete's done and also all the athletes that were interviewed in the documentary as well.
Point and be proud to be delivered through schools and sporting organisations across Melbourne South, which is fantastic, which is an extension of the doco. The bit that got me, a bloke... Jay will know very well. As far as all the athletes who are involved, was brilliant. Nova Peris, I love listening to her. Josh Addo-Carr. But Wayne Ludby, who took the photo, famous ex-Herald Sun photographer of Nicky Winmar. And he was just talking about what would have happened if he hadn't taken the photo and the effect that it would or wouldn't have had on Nicky's life, on the anti-racism sentiment. I found it fascinating, Nath.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you watch the doco, you don't understand the impact that racism has had on Nicky. You know, it's still, you know, talking about it today, and it's happened nearly 30 years ago. And, you know, I think that once you watch the doco, it's just so important just to have an understanding. And what it's about is I want people to understand the impacts of racism on a person's mental health and what it could lead to. And that's the ripple effect that we talk about. And, you know, it's really important that we take this into schools as well and, you know, educate the students.
One of the, I mean, I love Dreamtime Round. It is one of the most, my favourite rounds of the year. I think the way we put the Indigenous players on a pedestal and celebrate their cultures and their journey is absolutely brilliant. And we saw that again last night with Shai Bolton just absolutely take centre stage. But what, I mean, it is missing two things for me. One, it's the Indigenous flag, which isn't in the middle of the ground because of the copyright issue. And the fact that Sydney champion Adam Good still doesn't feel that safety and belongingness back in the game, Howie. That is an incredible shame for me that he still feels this distance. And you played at the same time, Nathan, and as Goodsy. Do you hope we can get to a point where Adam will be, not welcome back in the game, but will feel comfortable to come back into that game? Because if I feel like, you know, if I just really feel it's so sad that he doesn't feel comfortable back in the game at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, just with the flag, you know, it's disappointing that, you know, we can't, you know, showcase that, because as Indigenous people, we're proud of that flag. And, you know, there's organisations like Clothing the Gaps that out there lobbying and advocating to try and get that flag back. And I just, you know, with Goodsy, you know, he's a very good mate of mine, and we grew up in the same area. And, you know, it was just very disappointing just the way, you know, he ended his football career. And I think, you know, after watching his doco a couple of years ago when that came out, and, you know, what I noticed about that was, you know, when he was going through all that, the booing and that, you know, the constant noise and negativity, and, you know, he had to get out and go out the bush and put his feet in the ground and spend time with elders, and that connection to culture, and, you know, it was a part of his healing. And I guess, you know, for Goodsy, you know, he's still going through that healing, because he was hurt so much, you know, because of the disrespect that he was shown. And, you know, and when you watch his doco, you see what the impact that it has on his mental health. And, you know, and that's the same with Nicky as well, and the other Indigenous athletes that were interviewed in this doco. It's just, you know, it's just trying to raise that awareness, getting people to understand that, you know, if you say these words, you know, this is what it can lead to.
We are talking to Nathan Lovett-Murray, heavily involved in the Ripple Effect. Make sure you go and check it out. Nath, I'm not sure about your own experiences, but I will ask you the question. You've talked about the effect and the way the athletes have spoken about racism and how it can affect them, their mental health, their communities. In your own experience, if you've been in that situation, how does it make you feel as a person when you are prejudiced against for something, for the colour of your skin? It seems to so many people in the community something that can't still be happening, but obviously is. How does it make you feel when that happens?
Oh, look, it's just, you know, it's sad, you know, and in the documentary, I talk about my experiences, and I talk about an incident that happened in primary school, you know, and every time I hear of racial incidents, you know, it's a trigger. It takes me back to that moment when I was racially abused, you know, in primary school. And then, you know, I've had other incidents leading up to that, you know, on the footy field, not so much from a player, but more so from the crowd. And then there's also stuff in social media, you know, and that's another area that, you know, we really need to get better at. And, you know, and the message is, you know, from the docos, is calling racism out, you know. Like, it can't just be relied on Indigenous people or people of colour just to keep calling it. You know, we need allies. We need people to call it out, you know, because it gets so tiring.
Nathan, take us behind the camera, because obviously the documentary, it's an amazing documentary, but it must be a hard thing to get up, a hard thing to produce and make sure it gets to air the way you want it to do. How hard was it putting it together?
Oh, look, mate, I guess my involvement was just trying to raise the funds. And, you know, I was very lucky. You know, we had some very good organisations come on board and able to fund the project. And then, you know, just partnering with Peter Dixon, you know, he's the best in the business in making sporting documentaries. He's done an amazing job. He actually did a doco of my great-grandfather, Pastor Sir Doug Nichols, a few years ago for the AFL. And, you know, as soon as I seen that, you know, as soon as I had this idea, you know, he was the one that I wanted to get involved to make this doco. And, you know, he's been able to, you know, film all these stories and then, been able to put it all together, and he's just done a great job. And you know, I'm so proud of the film and the work that everyone's done that's been involved.
Hey, Nath, I always like to ask your favourite or best Indigenous player that you've ever seen play the game?
I reckon, would that be you, Duck?
Hey?
Would that be you?
Would it be me? Very good question.
You're my favourite player growing up.
Hang on.
Who did you love watching and who do you love watching now?
I reckon Adam Goods was the hardest opponent. You know, I got in my second or third year, Kevin Sheets gave me the opportunity to tag him one game, and I could only keep up with him for three quarters. I had to come off and had the full body cramps, and you know, he's the best that I've seen play the game. And I think the current players that I've played with, Paddy Ryder, you can't go past him and what he's been able to do in the ruck. He's one of the best tap ruckmen that I've seen in the game.
Nathan, with the documentary, the condensed version, you're coupling it with the point and be proud in the schools. Can you explain to us how that's working and the aim of that program?
Yeah, so the doco is a 47-minute film that we aired last night and will be shown a few times later down the track. And then Peter's also edited a 20-minute schools version. So the plan is we want to train up facilitators that can go into schools, show the 20-minute version, and then have the conversation about racism and the ripple effect it has on a person's mental health.
Nath, just before we let you go, I had this conversation with Jay and our producer last week saying we need to get someone on to tell us about Sir Doug Nicholls, because I was with my young bloke before that and we were watching the footy and he's like, Dad, who's Sir Doug Nicholls? I said, oh, he played footy and he was the governor of South Australia. I couldn't tell him anything else. And we had this discussion. Nath, we were trying to find the right person to get on to tell us who Sir Doug Nicholls is. We got his grandson on, so we might as well ask you, mate. What do you know of the man that we hear his name so often at this time of year, but a lot of us don't know a great deal about, or rather than the superficial stories that we hear?
Yeah, look, growing up, I didn't know too much of his story, and it wasn't until I was, I think I was 20, 21, and they made a statue of him and my great-grandmother, Lady Gladys Nicholls, and just behind Parliament House, there's a massive statue of both of them, and then there was also a photo exhibition, and from that, I was able to learn his story. And, you know, he grew up on an Aboriginal mission called Cummeragunja, just in New South Wales. And then he moved down to Melbourne when he was 17 to play football. And I think he tried out at the Blues. And, you know, there was some racial incidents that happened there. And he left there. And then he went to Northcote Park. And then he ended up at Fitzroy. And he played for Victoria as well. And it wasn't until after he finished his football career, he set up his own church in Fitzroy. And, you know, he was able to do a lot of community work with Indigenous people, you know, not just in Fitzroy, but all around Australia. And then from the work that he did, you know, he was able to be knighted by the Queen, Governor of South Australia. So he had these amazing achievements, back in those times, which is unheard of for an Indigenous person, considering where he came from. But it, so inspirational for all people around Australia. And it's a great story. And it's something that we're working on in the Pipeworks is a movie about, great-grandfather Doug Nicholls, which I think is sort of overdue.
I love it, Nath. Appreciate you having a chat with us. Jay, you've got one final question before we let Nath go.
Oh, and I see, Nath, you've been able to move on with your life, doing some great work with the documentary and you're rapping Payback Records. I think I remember reading a story about you back in the day. You were doing some interesting work there. Can I just ask, and I've asked this question about a lot of the Essendon players who've retired, are you at peace with the way your career ended? And the supplement saga, there obviously has been a lot of water under the bridge. And I know a lot of players, some of them want to move on. It doesn't bother them. Some of them still harbour a lot of that anger and resentment. Does that still live in with you, Nathan, or are you sort of at peace with that whole chapter?
Definitely at peace with the football club. I think Xavier Campbell, the CEO, has done a fantastic job, I guess, making amends with a lot of that current playing group that went through all that stuff. And I've got my son, Nawi, he's in the father and son academy. And he's been down to the club a few times training. So keep an eye out for him. He's been playing with Bendigo Pioneers. And,
very good.
Hopefully he sort of comes through the ranks and has a crack at playing AFL football as well.
Nath, we appreciate your time, mate. Thanks for filling us in. A little bit more information about your great-grandfather, Sir Doug Nicholls. Congratulations on the ripple effect and hopefully it's the first of many docos out that you're involved in, mate. Cracking show. Well done.
Now, thanks for the support.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
Can you believe it?
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
We just had Nathan Lovett Murray on the show. I'm about to play some audio, but Duck, last week in an ad break, we had a really interesting discussion and we we didn't talk about it last week on air. You've had a bit of a chance to think about it. You just asked Nathan Lovett Murray this question, and it's the first time I've seen you taken aback. This is the question, and this is Nathan's answer.
Hey, Nath, I always like to ask your favourite or best Indigenous player that you've ever seen play the game?
I reckon that be you, Duck.
Hey?
Would that be you?
Would it be me? Very good question.
You're my favourite player growing up.
It is a very, very good question, Duck. You started to tell us a story last week that we were all
gobsmacked
by, and we decided not to talk about it on air because it was a thing about you and your family and being comfortable, but you've just said to us, no, let's have a chat about it now. So whether Nathan Lovett Murray had considered you to be of Indigenous background, that could have been the way that question and answer was interpreted. Tell us your story, mate.
Oh, well, I guess because Lindsay Gilbey only found out only a year ago, and we're talking
about 18 months ago,
the fact that he designed the Bulldog jumper. And we did talk about it last week, and Nathan just took me back because I certainly didn't think he was going to say me. But look, as a kid, Howie, as a very young child, we were considered, all of my dad's children were considered Indigenous. And I didn't know, and we didn't know whether that was true or not. So I've never really delved deep into it. But it's always sat in the background, and I've never ever spoken about it publicly. This is the first time I've ever told anyone about it, other than obviously my family and some really close friends know a little bit about it. But I've never delved into it. I do know that my dad's brother's children and their children are all considered, and they all still live in Wagga Wagga. They're considered Indigenous, but I once again, my dad's no longer with us. My mum's no longer with us. And I don't know whether it was something that my dad, had organized through Wagga, connections at the time, because it was obviously like in terms of the government, we were considered Indigenous because we got paid, a certain amount of money for food and all that sort of stuff when we were kids.
So just to explain that to us, because I didn't even know that was something that took place, and you were telling us that last week, so your family would get a check.
I think it was I don't know how much Dad actually got, but the actual, all of us kids, I think it was like $2 every fortnight or every month, and it was an actual check. Now, Dad never gave that to us. I think he cashed it.
Right. So that was like an Indigenous welfare, for want of a better term, check?
I assume so, yes. And then when we moved from Wagga to Adelaide, we lived in a beautiful suburb called Smithfield, which is not a great suburb, Howard, but I played in an all Indigenous team at lunchtimes in that school. So, you know, I was considered Indigenous at that school, but it's just something that I've definitely never spoken about, and it's not because I'm ashamed to be Indigenous, no. if I am or anything like that. I've just never spoken about it, never felt the need to talk about it. But I have had many discussions with a lot of the Indigenous players, very close, always got along very, very well with the Indigenous boys at North Melbourne and other clubs, and they always joked with me and come up to me and said, well, you know, when are you going to, you know, tell the world that, you know, you've got Indigenous blood and all this sort of stuff. And I've just never wanted the attention of doing it or you know, I guess really delving and finding out whether it's 100% true or whether it's not or whether it's just something that, you know, Dad was able to conjure up back in the day. So, you know, I honestly don't know. But the fact, I guess, that my first cousins in Wagga right now are considered it, then I probably should look into it.
You're talking about your cousin. So tell us the story you told us last week, Duck, off air about your uncle's kids. So this is your brother's children.
Your uncle.
Yeah,
Uncle Ronnie. I'm sure he won't mind me. I don't think he listens to Triple M, but Uncle Ronnie has got twins and twin boys, and one is white coloured skin, very white. And one is very dark coloured skin, and they're actually twins. I guess they got asked that question a lot when they were young, and your brothers and you know, you can sort of look like you do. So one was, you know, like I said, looked Indigenous, and the other one didn't. But as we know, you can actually have very white skin and still have Indigenous blood. So I guess it's something that I'll have to delve into a little more, Howie.
Can I ask, Duck, is it your – so it's your dad's mum who you suspect is Indigenous did you ever meet your grandparents?
I met my grandmother on my dad's side, not my grandfather.
Right. So do you have any suspicions around where do you think it sort of comes from in your family tree?
It's dad's side. Definitely dad's side. But I don't know and have never really delved into it.
And just before we go any further, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal at all, but it's just something, probably because you're a footballer of high renown and Indigenous footballers are looked up so highly in our game that there's a link there. Whether you have Indigenous blood or not, at the end of the day, as a normal punter on the street, who really cares? But it's due to your profile and the fact that you've done so much in the game is why we're now talking about it.
The greatest player in the game, pretty much in the history of the game. So, in your mind right now, say you decided to pursue this and like Lindsay Gilbey did, in your mind right now, what do you think the result would be?
Good question. I have no idea, Brownie. I have no idea. And once again, it's not, and I've not gone into it because of any other reason. Then I've just thought, leave it alone. Didn't want the attention or anything like that. And that's probably why I've never, ever had this discussion publicly.
Do you think privately you'll follow it up now?
I think I might have to now. Mm. I mean, and for this reason, I mean, I think if I don't, then it's probably, I'm a bit slack.
Do you know who is centre-half forward in the Indigenous team of the century? Because they're going to have to move over to a flank. That could be the case.
Rewrite all the honour boards.
And to be honest, and that's not that I would think I would go into any of those positions.
It's not what you said to us last week.
Because of all of those things and there's so much water gone under the bridge, my career's over in terms of football and everything else. Part of the reason why I've never wanted to talk about it or bring it up. And like I said, Nathan, and I know a lot of the Indigenous boys, because they talk to me a lot about it when I see them in person, but I've never spoken about it publicly.
Duck, don't you think if that is the case, it would be a wonderful thing for you and your family as Australians to be connected to this country in which you live?
No question.
To be...
Yep. I think more so for me, my two daughters and my son.
Absolutely.
You know, for their sakes, so they know, and then they can work out, you know, and I guess follow history like they
what
should.
What I like is you're in control and get to it in your time. No,
turn a blind
no one
eye.
Pressure you to it.
I think I've
get to it in your own time.
Yeah, I think I've turned a blind eye to
Everyone
it.
Speaks to their family and asks questions. Have you sat down you would have discussed this with your brother?
I've discussed this with my brothers and my sisters.
And what do they think?
And, well, my two brothers definitely think that we are Indigenous. My two sisters, like I said, if anyone was going to help me delve into this, it would be my two sisters. The two brothers probably not exactly bookworms or going to do anything, but... I could certainly get my two sisters to help find out for absolute certain. But even a phone call to my uncle would be probably pretty easy to do.
And Dakui, you said you were shared great friendships with some of the Indigenous teammates and opponents. Is there anyone in particular who you have sort of confided with or had this conversation with, or anyone who probably knows your story?
Yeah, probably Ronnie Burns and I have sat around and spoken about it a fair bit.
In Adelaide?
I sat around with Choppy, with Byron Pickett and Winston Abraham and all of those guys. We used to sit around and talk about it all the time when I was playing. But once again, it was just something that I felt that, I don't know, like I said, it was just something that I didn't want to burden people with or I don't know, take something away from someone else because if I was considered Indigenous, it was just, so they're the reasons why, Howie. And a little bit uncomfortable even talking about it now because I don't want to...
I know that you don't want to make it about you. People, we have this persona that, you know, the duck's the king, etc., but I know you get uncomfortable talking about yourself and I know that it's no reflection on whether there is background or not. I hope for your sake that there is and you're completely connected to this land in an even greater way.
Well, if it was to come back that 100% that it was the case, then certainly... I would feel very proud to then pass that on to my children.
I think that's a great way to finish the conversation. Yep. Now, we don't like to be too serious on this show, but your man Stephen Michael's a centre-half forward of the Indigenous team of the century, and your man Mickey O is the full forward, and all of a sudden they're starting to get the word through that maybe there might be a new extra competition up board.
Mickey's to the fourth pocket.
Hey, mate, really well spoken, Duck. Thanks for sharing with us.
Triple M rocks footy.
Absolute ripper.
This is the Triple M Sunday Run for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks football. Time for fan favourite.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs pub quiz.
All right, buzzers, please, Clarky.
JJ.
Ross. Brown.
Duck.
All right, here we go. Nath is leading, or he's dominating the competition. What is it overall? 7 to Brownie, 2 to Jay-Z, 1 to Ross, and Duck's been in attendance.
How's that possible?
Well, because if you took how many questions I've answered, it's probably the most. It's that one at the end that I've been pipped in about 8 quizzes. Yeah. And the other thing that I'll say, Howie.
Yes, Duck.
Given that he runs his own quiz, he's a quiz master on the Channel 9 footy show. Then he comes in and does the quiz.
Exactly.
That's really a handicap.
It's an automatic advantage.
Nothing to do with it.
There's only one thing I can say is that you're such an incredible, confident man that you are losing 7-0 and still are claiming you're winning the quiz, which I find quite extraordinary.
No, not winning. I've answered the most questions, probably.
Yeah, but you can have a lot of shots on goal. That doesn't make you an accurate kick, though.
That's right. Yeah. All right, here we go. Have you been paying attention? Who was selected with pick one of the mid-season draft? Brown.
JJ.
Oh, I forgot his name.
Okay.
JJ.
Yes.
Jackson Edwards. Jacob Edwards.
Yeah, I'll give you Jacob Edwards. Jacob Edwards. Well done. Yeah, it's close enough. Four players remain on AFL lists from the 2019 mid-season draft. You've got to name them all. Good luck.
Will Snelling.
Yes.
John Noble.
Yes.
Marlon Pickett.
Yes. One more. I'm going to give you his club because you've done so well.
Thank you.
The Bulldogs.
Oh, it's Ryan Gardner.
Yeah, he deserved your help. That was a very good effort.
That's good. Now, by the way, hey Ross, none of us were going to get that.
Come on, Ross. Too many clues, Howard.
I was pretending I was thinking.
Come on, Rossi. Optus Stadium last night hosted the magnificent Dreamtime game. Which venue hosted the game? Brown.
TIO Stadium.
Yeah, in Darwin last year, which was a magnificent occasion. Brownie's underway. How many Rising Star nominations?
Brown.
Yes.
Zero.
Has Essendon's impressive young brigade earned this season? Zero. He's done pretty well there.
Jew.
That's a good guess. Well done.
If I'd answered that, he'd reckon I'd seen the question.
Yeah. As of the end of round 11, 4 teams sat just 4 points outside the top 8. Who are those teams? Go on, Rossi.
That was a sympathy vote.
Go on, Rossi. It was a sympathy vote. I do feel sorry
Fremantle.
For you. Yes.
GWS.
Yes.
St Kilda.
Yes.
And.
Duck.
Mentioned them earlier.
Duck. That would be Essendon.
Yes.
Oh.
And who were the other three?
They're playing that well.
Who were the other three, Duck?
Who Ross mentioned.
Yes. And they were.
Don't tell him. He's had an emotional
moment. Yeah, okay. He's poured his heart out to us. Cryptic name game. You don't get much love on this show. He's just told us about his family history. Now we're piling into him. Cryptic name game. I like this. Which current port star with a double? Sorry, I'll start again.
JJ.
Yep.
Sam Powell-Pepper.
Yes. I didn't even get halfway through that question as I butchered it. It was which current port player with a double-barreled surname could you also find in a kitchen pantry? Yes. A former Geelong and St Kilda player whose surname can be defined as? Yep.
Stephen King.
The ruler of an independent state.
I'm out of my depth.
I think you've been cheating.
Oh.
I actually never accuse anyone.
Okay.
How did you know it was Stephen King?
Because he's a Geelong and St Kilda player.
Yeah. And
he's a Geelong man.
Got it pretty quick, though.
He did get it pretty quick.
Oh, you got the other one quick.
Audio round.
Honestly, give him credit.
There has been some unbelievable marks taken by Indigenous superstars over the year. I will play you a piece of audio, and all I need you...
Sampy.
No, is name the player who took
I was gonna say that too.
The outrageous mark. There are 5 of them. This is the first one.
Oh. Blues go forward Brim again, Robinson. Yes.
Duck.
Andrew Walker.
Duck.
It was Andrew Walker. And I missed a question. So
Blues go forward again, Robinson. Oh, no! He did it, Bob!
We'll continue with the audio. Part B, Leroy.
Had to go back and get it. Staker. Has kicked 12 the game so far. Driving ball.
Duck.
Sampy.
Sampy it was.
Ball forward.
Oh, that is a contender.
Audio part C.
Kennedy. Brown. He'll get the distance.
Brown. Brown. Liam Ryan.
Yes.
Goes long, right to the goal square. Right. Oh, Ryan. He's taken the mark of the year.
That's where Roosey said, no, he left his man.
Yeah.
Part B, D.
Thomas. Brown, Brown. Done some yes. damage.
Duck, duck.
Leon Davis.
No, Andrew.
Duck, duck.
Yes.
Cracker.
Yes.
Andrew. You're not happy.
Oh, boy!
And finally.
Goes to Brad Ebert now. Who wants to just play on Brown, straight Brown. Away?
That was Chad Wingard.
Yes.
Turns and delivers now to the point.
Brown, as you say, notice we're always buzzing off against one another.
Yes.
And you always give it to Brownie?
No, duck. You just looked after you for 4 years on this quiz. Guess the year. Brisbane's best and fairest is awarded to four players.
Oh, JJ.
Yep.
I would say that is 2017.
No. Duck.
It was 2018.
No. Fremantle. Yes. Ross. You
the
are
same year.
You are so out of your depth. You're right, Ross.
Yeah,
you're a million to one here.
2002.
No. Fair dinkum. You might be able to coach, but you know your quizzes, Rossy. You get all the clues now, Brandy.
Thank you, man.
Fremantle and West Coast finished first and second on the ladder for the only time in history. For the first Ross. And only time in history. Sorry, Ross, you're out. Right. Nat Fyfe wins his first Brownlow medal.
Brown, Brown.
Yes.
2014.
No,
2015
it was. No, you don't get to come back.
You had a grand final in 14, didn't you?
13.
Okay, general knowledge.
What happened in 15 when you finished top two then?
We lost the prelim by 15 points by the Hawks.
How was your performance?
Mine are always average. Yeah. Well, built on the back of good players.
General knowledge, there have been four Motlops who have played in the AFL.
Ruff.
Yes.
Daniel.
Yes.
Stephen.
Yes.
Marlon?
Yes. Come on, Rossi.
JJ.
No, hang on. Give the old boy a chance.
Was it.
Yes, Shannon. Shannon it was. Jay-Z, cherry pick.
2-3 out of 4.
I had those.
Jay-Z, 5. Duck, 3. Brownie, 5. And as Ross said, he's out of his depth.
Good score. Family, the Motlops.
Eddie Betts today moves to outright third on the list of most VFL AFL games played by an Indigenous Australian.
Brown, Brown.
Top five, you've got to name, Brownie.
Top five. Yeah. So, Adam Goods.
Yes. At 372, second.
Sean Burgoyne's in there.
396, one.
Michael O'Loughlin's in there.
He's not.
And Gavin Wanganeen's in there.
He's not either. But I like your confidence. Any other takers?
Andrew McLeod.
Yes. In 341 is fourth. You need one more.
That will be...
Duck, duck.
Yes, duck.
Cracker?
No.
Wolfhammer?
No.
Have we named Lance Franklin?
No, we haven't, Ross.
Oh, yes,
and
we
Ross
did.
Gets the point. No, he didn't. He didn't. Ross, he's on the board.
I say Lance Franklin. He's number
308.
One.
No, 308. Most games.
Drew, thank you.
Not goals.
I thought you said most goals.
No,
sorry.
Most games. That's all right. Sponsor watch. I'll name a former Guernsey sponsor for a club. I want the club's name, please. Quit. Yep.
That was Fitzroy. Mm.
Ross, were you playing with that on your
jumper?
Just,
yes, but as we were, can I just make a comment where my mind was? As we saw, I thought, what sort of segment is this?
Ross, you had
Guernsey spot. Yeah,
you had
sponsors.
You wore the jumper, Ross. You wore the jumper, well, man.
But my mind was drifting.
This is what happened to Frio in that prelim.
Last
my
couple
mind
of...
was drifting. Yeah.
I should have watched all that footage I watched with
go.
The sound on.
Sure second one. Segment. SGIO.
The program.
Yep.
Sydney.
Duck,
no.
JJ.
That was West Coast.
It was West Coast. Now, Duck equals Brownie on 5. Jay's on 5 as well.
See what I mean by answer the most? But
so we've got 3 on 5 and we've got Ross on 1. Finally, Reno.
Brown, Brown.
Brown, Brown.
Port Adelaide.
Duck. Yes. Brownie takes a 1-point lead. Who am
buzz
I?
In again.
Here we go. Once you guess, you can't guess again. Ross, you need to get it immediately. In fact, you already needed to have gotten. You want to have a crack before you ask a question, Ross? Or not? I was born August 3, 1979 and played 227 AFL games. I kicked 131 goals through my 14-year career at the one AFL club.
JJ.
This for the win.
David Wupanda.
Yes.
Oh.
That's a good effort. I think he's cheated. He played forward.
I reckon you saw the head.
Why is it that when I throw in?
Because you're not very good.
It can read through the paper. It sees through.
How you got Dave Wirra Panda out of that?
I've won two quizzes.
That's extraordinary.
We're a punter, by the way. Not we're a panda.
I know because I worked in the West and I followed him closely.
And you can also read through the paper.
What up, Clarky?
The Listener app is the home of everything Triple M footy.
So this is good for me.
Listen live or on demand.
Uh-huh. It just gets better and better.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Choice Hotels round the grounds. Need a break? Book direct and save with Choice Hotels, choicehotels.com. We're casting forward. Been a change to the schedule, Guru?
Yes, so the Richmond game from next week has been brought forward, Howie. So Richmond and West Coast were both scheduled to have their bye in round 13 next week. That has changed. They will in fact play next week. So Richmond flew to Sydney today. They'll fly back into Perth next week and then take on the Eagles at home on the road. So a little change in the bye schedule. After this, Howie, it's Fremantle versus the Western Bulldogs in the West.
Okay, we're leading up to Carlton versus West Coast. All right, Leroy, it is time for...
This is Ducks Pump Up.
Always gets it up, this one, Ducky boy.
Well, it does, and because we're still... it is the Indigenous round, Brownie, and it has... Is it flowing a little bit into... Because I know that Sydney never wore their Indigenous jumper yesterday, Howie. But the thing that, and I know that it was a Dreamtime game last night, but it actually has drifted over a few weeks, hasn't it?
It was last week and this week.
Yeah, last week and this week. And Sydney will get to wear their Indigenous jumper next Friday night.
Okay.
I assume, because they didn't wear it yesterday. Mm. But you know what I'm loving? I'm loving the didgeridoo.
Oh, yeah.
How good does that sound, the didgeridoo, after each goal? I reckon it's added something to our game. It's like I love the drums when the Tigers come out before their game. I love that. I'm not a massive fan on the sparklers during a day game. I don't think they add a lot. You know that some of the teams that come out and they have the sparklers.
That's a negative.
Going.
You're just doing positive.
Okay, I'm just But I'm loving the didgeridoo after a goal. I would love to see that. It followed through. Stay. I really like it.
Howie's not happy with Enter Sandman when Melbourne run out to play.
No, that's a negative, though. We can discuss that in your segment. Okay. But no, I agree.
Do you like it?
I liked it.
I think
a lot.
You could keep that the whole year, couldn't you?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I really like it. That's a nice pump up, but now and, with the yes.
And the fact that there's no crowds as well, I think, or not big crowds, I think it's magnified more.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, I
like it, Duck. Yep. So, but with any yin, there's a yang with a positive. That's our man, Duck. Then there's a negative, which is Nath, which is not Nath as a person, but he wanted to take this segment on.
Well, he's normally.
It's disappointing, isn't it?
Now it's time.
Been pretty ordinary
for Deflate Nate.
Brings us back to ground.
I came in today and said that you look amazing at 50.
Yep,
so
you.
I'm a positive person.
You are.
More often than not, Howie, but you've given me this role. So the holding the ball rule is the most frustrating rule in AFL football, and it frustrates fans, it frustrates the players, the coaches, and I think it frustrates the umpires because the umpires are told to go out there and officiate it, and I think there's different messaging each week. So I understand the umpires are in charge of paying those free kicks, but there are so many sub-rules. Now, the Zach Bailey one in round two cost them a game. St Kilda had 85 tackles against Geelong for 3 free kicks. They counted 12 that should have been paid that night. Ben Keys last week v Melbourne at centre-half forward for Tex Walker kicked that goal. He got spun around in a 7-20, dropped the footy, wasn't paid. And then last night, Grimes and Arts both were spun around, clearly didn't get rid of the ball properly, but weren't paid. Why aren't we paying these free kicks? And I dug a little bit deeper. Presently, it consists of 5 clauses and 2 sub-clauses, the holding the ball rule. You've got to make it easy for the umpires, and here it is. If you take possession of the ball, this is mine.
This is your rule.
This is the one. You don't need the 5 sub-clauses, all 7 clauses. If you take possession of the ball and you have an opportunity to move the ball on and you are tackled and don't dispossess of the ball, then it is holding the ball free kick. It is pretty simple. If that happens, you see that, you pay a free kick. For some reason, we're not. It's costing some people games. Some people, it might cost their livelihoods as a coach. I'm not sure, but we need to get it right.
Yeah, I like it, Brownie. It's not a puzzle, is it?
It's not a puzzle, Duck. No, it's not a jigsaw.
They're turning it into a puzzle because of all of these different interpretations.
It is a complex rule, and a lot of people don't. You know, the prior opportunity does cause a lot of
debate.
But then you have knock free in the tackle.
They got it right They got it right Friday night. I thought they got it. They were hot on it, but they got it right. And then I thought they missed a couple last night.
Well, they're letting the ball. The person in possession, they're giving him every opportunity to get rid of the ball. Yep. But then it gets back to, are they really tackled? Are they retarded? But you're swinging around. Really, that goal from Shea Bolton last night, like Jack Graham, he took an attorney. Mm. The three hung on and they were allowing him to fight free and just dish it out. So it's,
I'm happy for him to give him the opportunity to get rid of it and to swing around. But if they don't then give the ball off correctly and the umpires are saying, yeah, he made an attempt, that's got to go. Yep.
Or
that
it's not
made
fair.
An attempt. Yep. If you don't possess the ball or give it off with a handball or a kick, it is a free kick.
I think
kick.
As soon as you take him on, you tackle, don't dispose
him. Exactly.
Or Brownie, in the tackle, so if I come in, if you've got the ball and I come in and I swing my arm and it hits the ball and knocks it out,
yep,
then that's holding the ball as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Correct.
The Arts one last night I thought was the worst call of the year. Yeah. Like the, was a Ridley tackle who tackled Arts like
all
that.
Six players around the stoppage or around that, all stopped.
Yeah. Including Dustin
and
Martin.
Thought the umpires had paid a free kick, but it wasn't. Umpire said play on.
Yeah, that was clearly holding the ball. And I think the quicker the whistle is better for the game, isn't it, Ross? Because then that sort of breaks up the congestion, gets the play moving.
Yeah, it does.
Generally
certainly.
Speaking.
Yeah, certainly.
Well done, Nath. Mm, very nice by you.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, that was tasty. McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks football on a Sunday afternoon. Mark Howe, Jay Clark, Ross Lyon, Nath Brown, Wayne Carey. And we are a big fan of this man on a Sunday Noodles. His name is Jack Crisp.
We sure are.
We like to call him the Crisper. 31 disposals in their 5-point win yesterday over Adelaide. 152 games without missing. Welcome to the show, Jack Crisp. Jack, Mark Howard here. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, guys. Nah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How you going, mate? Fantastic win yesterday. It was a strange old day. Just tell us about what happened pre-game.
Yeah, it was a very long day. That's what it was. So, yeah, I think we had breakfast between 6 and 7, 7.30, and then the bus left at 7.30. We got to Adelaide, I think, maybe 10 o'clock, and then straight to the ground where we got COVID tested straight away. And then we were hanging out in the cricket nets for 3 to 4 hours on some bean bags and just pretty much had to chill out until it was time to go prep.
You didn't have a hit?
Nah, I hate cricket.
Fair enough.
What did you do, Jack? What did you? I mean, some guys will watch the NBA. I know you're into your video games with Brody, aren't you? How do you pass 4 hours?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I've tried to sleep most of it because I always try and get a nap in game day, no matter what the time is, apart from if it's like the 1 o'clock games in the afternoon. So when we got there, I'd shut my eyes for a little bit, then I'd wake up. And then I'd try and shut my eyes again, then had some lunch, then I'd just close them again to kill some more time. There was nothing really else to do. Like, blokes were walking around annoying each other because they're like, oh, I'm bored, I'm bored. I'm like, I kept telling them to go away from me because I was trying to just close my eyes. But, yeah, it was a strange old day.
Chris, but let's talk about the game plan because the week before against Geelong, there was a lot of negativity around your game plan. But yesterday against Adelaide, it seemed like every time you got the football early, it was fast play and it was through the corridor.
Yeah, look, we've spoken about, obviously, our ball movement was mentioned the last couple of weeks and stuff, but we're trying to shift the defence a fair bit, I think. And I think when we saw these openings against Adelaide, we took them and we backed ourselves in with our kicking instead of just looking at it and second-guessing ourselves. So I guess that comes into it a little bit. When we see those open options, you got to take them because obviously that's how you're going to cut through the defences. But, yeah, the boys were on early and willing to take the game on, which really helped. And then obviously having Billy back. He's so dynamic up forward, created another option for us to go to. So, yeah, it paid dividends in the end, didn't it?
How do you personally shift or adjust your expectations of the year, Jack? Because you've been part of a successful team over the past few years, the grand final and finals campaigns. But then this year, when things don't go so well and it doesn't look like you can play finals, how do you personally, do you adjust your thinking in any way, shape or form so as that disappointment doesn't infiltrate your mindset?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. We have spoken about it as a team a couple of times because we've spoken about if the thinking of the results is affecting our how we play and how we finish off games. Like, because I think early on in the year, like we're getting those close games, it seemed like we're kind of giving up. Because the last month, we've just kept fighting and grinding out games. So I think we've spoken about if that's our focus, like trying not to think about the result and just do what we can as a team to play some good football. But for me personally, nothing changes really. Just take 1 week at a time. We just take care every game as it comes.
So Jack, you seem to play a bit off halfback as well, particularly early in the year and midfield. What's your preferred position, or you like a split during the game?
To be honest, I like them both. because I've played like just mainly defence the last few years, when I have had those little bits in the mid, I've really enjoyed it. So being able to play full-time mid the last couple of weeks has been really enjoyable. But I went back to halfback the second half of the game yesterday. Which is good.
Get Pendles on board, was it? When you went back, did Pendles come on? Is that what happened? Hello?
We lost the crisper.
We did like the question.
He's gone.
Crisper, are you still there? Earth to crisper.
No, he's not.
We'll get him back on because we've got plenty more questions for this man. Yeah. What were you going with there, Ross?
Yeah. Well, just Pendlebury at half back, and then he went on halfway through the third and helped turn the game. I was wondering, because I missed having pizzas with the kids, whether Jack Chris went to half back. Because I thought early in the year he... was pretty good at it. He sat at half back. I thought midfield I could do with his drive. And every time he went there, I thought he's a ball magnet, gives him a big lift.
Crisper, did you get halfway through Ross's question and put him on mute?
Yeah, sorry, Crisper.
Yeah, I accidentally muted you.
I wish I had that similar facility here every second Sunday. Ross, it was a nice question. Go again.
Well, personally, like when I saw you sitting at half back and you the team was struggling, I thought, get him on ball every time, ball magnet. But when you moved back, was that to get Pendlebury on ball halfway through the third? Was that the change? I missed the late stages of the game.
Yeah, so at half time we swapped. I went back to half back, but it's more a little bit as well to obviously have Pendle's experience on ball because we were down clearances minus 10, I think. And because they were sending a forward up to the stoppage, so I was kind of dropping off that high forward to give us a bit of aerial support, like 20, 30 metres off the ball, and get a bit of bounce off there. So that was probably more the game plan.
You'd like that when you put the bib on. It's nice. Let him up in the congestion, just roam around at half back.
Yeah, well, it's good. Like, obviously, it's when you get that first drop off, you're thinking, okay, a little bit free here, might get involved. But then, obviously, in transition, you've got to find your opponent, and hopefully he doesn't sneak out and kick you a snap.
Talking about your fellow defenders, Darcy Moore, there was an experiment earlier in the year putting him forward. Do you guys get asked about that type of move?
Obviously the match committee have their few meetings and then we'll come out and train it. Yep. We'll know at main training and get a feel for it. Some players might have more conversations with the coaches about it, obviously, if they're involved in it. But for me, I didn't really know too much until we trained it. But I didn't mind it. Obviously, we're trying to find different ways to score at that stage. It's good to give it a go.
Crisper, 152 straight games. Obviously, some of that comes down to luck because you're not getting those contact injuries, shoulders, knees, etc. But a lot of it, I presume, comes down to preparation. It's a phenomenal record. Congratulations on it. What are you doing during the week to make sure you can get in there and out there week in, week out?
Thank you. I get a lot of physio and massage treatment, so that's probably my favourite things. But then, obviously, we've got a bit of... We're upstairs. We work with Paula. She's used to be a ballet teacher, and she's really good working with specific muscle groups in the body and helps with a lot of rehab boys as well. So everyone's got their own individualized programs in terms of like whether they're obviously sore or coming back from injuries and trying to manage different parts of their body. So I've been doing a fair bit of work up there with her for the last few years. But I feel like my body just recovers really well as well, which gives me the good chance to keep backing up each week.
What about diet? We've been quite obsessed, let's be honest, on this show about Tom McDonald's 3 kilos of steak and 1 kilo of chicken a week.
I had a watch of that this morning. Yeah, that was interesting.
So what's your go-to meal? Like, how healthy do you eat and how do you get yourself ready as far as diet goes?
I eat like fairly well throughout the day, but I'm just a sucker for dessert. I've got a real sweet tooth.
What's your go-to?
Oh, well, there's this place on Uber Eats. It's called the Dolce House. It gets them like cookies and cream brownies and M&M brownies, just a bit of ice cream stuff. It's delicious.
This is how you play 150 straight noodles.
Yeah, you always go up at the dessert.
Crisper, I've got a couple more for you, but Jay's got a couple of serious ones. And I'm a big fan, Crisper. As I said at the start, you got 38.4 following you on Instagram. A couple of things, Crispy's Crew. So I've had a look at that. You're sending out your own training programs, are you?
Oh, yeah, that was last year. I started doing that in... So it was in the first lockdown when we were all in Melbourne, started doing some online workouts for people.
So for instance, say you're a
just say you're a reasonably skinny type of dude and you're just trying to bulk up a bit. What advice would Crispy's crew have? Don't laugh, Rossi. We all can dream.
Oh, I'd say get on Tom McDonald's steak diet and get in the gym.
Okay. My second question for you on social media, Duck, you'll enjoy this. Our man CRISPR is involved with a mob called Swish, from what I can see. S-W-Y-S-H. Yep. Where the man, the CRISPR, can send you like a birthday message or a happy birthday or a merry Christmas. Yep. How much does it cost anything to get it, or anything you want? How much does it cost to get my man, the CRISPR, to send a little message through?
I'm pretty cheap. I'm only $60.
$60. So, what are the big guns charging compared to you?
I think Howie's charging $100, I saw.
That's Jeremy Howe. Is it $100? So you come in at $60, so I can get 1.5 CRISPRs for one Jeremy Howe.
Yeah, no, you can't be too expensive. You've got to let the people be able to buy it and get a good video out of it. It's good.
And what type of stuff do you send out? Is it like a nice video presentation, or what do you do, CRISPR?
Yeah, I just hold the phone up. Obviously, got the camera in your face, and you just talk into it for 30 to 60 seconds. And the people that buy it, they give you a bit of information on who it's for and kind of what they do. Like, say, this person's a mad Collingwood fan. You know, it's their 40th birthday. Love the Pies, and just give them a bit of information about that person, and then you just kind of say, yeah.
You're trying to get another income stream going, Howie, are you?
I'm just fascinated because, I bought you a nice bottle of wine for your birthday.
That's the 80th time you mentioned it. We know, Howie.
I think this October.
Just get him a video from me.
I think this October, if you could organise me a birthday message from the CRISPR, I'd like
really?
That.
Really? Okay. Well, it'll cost you $60.
Yeah.
Oh, I might increase my price.
Oh, come on, CRISPR. Have you got any more footy ones for him, or should we let him go?
The fair bit happening off the field, Jack. Do you sort of take any notice of the reports about a potential ball takeover, and what is the coach or senior figures at the club said about this sort of stuff to the team?
We haven't had too much to chat about that, to be honest.
So it hasn't been mentioned?
Oh, look, not really. It's in passing. Like, we talk about, there's a lot of things going on with the club, but we ultimately have to take care of our performance on field and try not to obviously let that other noise kind of influence us as much as it should. Obviously, I just skim read a few things here and there because obviously I'm part of the club and it's important what's going on over here. But yeah, we just more importantly take care of the football side of things and worry about getting our performances right before we can focus on other things.
Hey, Jack, we appreciate your time. As I said, we're all fans. We love watching you play, mate. I know what my birthday present is, which is fantastic. Stay safe. Good luck with your young family, mate. And good to see Collingwood back on the winner's list.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nice to speak to Jack Crisp. I think there is an income stream there.
He's a very, very, very good player.
Very good player. Yeah. I think
very consistent. He's bankable.
He is bankable.
That's perfect way to say
consistent. Consistent.
Not an if. Too many ifs going down the race. You're in trouble.
So Penderbury going to halfback, almost their number one midfielder with Adams being out at the moment.
Yeah, he certainly is. The ability, he's just a ball magnet. You know, you can rely upon him. The other thing, when they have been a bit stagnant, as opposed to what I was going to roll out with, he's the one that's broken the lines and got him some flow and takes it on. He plays with a boldness. And I don't think it's too far to think, you know, another Dacos comes through, the young players, that they could snap back relatively quickly with a good run with injury, Collingwood, next year.
Notice, Ross, been studying the list, have you, Rossi?
Oh, look, it's probably too big a job for me, though. Good luck, Bucks.
Nate, you're our figures man. You're across crypto. Yeah. You bring us the figures of what people
what
are earning.
What figures do you want, Howard?
Well, I want you to tell us, as individuals here, if we all join Swish, what we can charge to start sending out our messages. Start with our man, the Duck. So you get a birthday message from the Duck. What's he charging? The CRISPR is charging $60. Jeremy Howe's charging $100.
We're going on a base. So if he's 60, Jeremy Howe's 100. Duck's 250.
250 for Duck?
250.
Ross, just the tick under 200. So about 175.
Just before you move on. So 175, I'm going to say I shouldn't. If he was a premiership coach,
probably 500.
Almost 750. Right. I'd imagine what Sheeds and these guys are getting. It'd be extraordinary money.
I used to settle almost, for $1 million a year. That was okay.
It's almost put a deposit on a house every 6 months type of money if you've won a premiership.
Right. And what about our man
needs
in
to
the
go
real,
back to the well to
if
do
I
that.
Was, I wouldn't be sending the Triple M.
Looking to go back to the well to do it.
Okay. And what about our
25.
Man?
25.
For Jay, how much?
25 for Jay.
In those shorts?
Howard.
And Howard.
Howard.
I reckon... 3? No, I think about 100 for Howard.
I'll take 100. Yeah. All right, we might take a break here, but we've got to get to Ned shortly, yes?
I like you, the stock exchange, Brownie. I always look forward to your buy, hold, or sell. Can I just ask you a little one first? If you're Tom Brown and you're talking about your dad, if you're doing a story on the Collingwood presidency, should you be referring to him as dad in the cross, or would you just go with Jeff Brown?
Well, when you buy, do one dad sell, and then you go back to Jeff Brown the very next breath, but then you roll in a dad later, it was a bit confusing for old Tom.
He went
dad, then Jeff Brown, then dad in the same...
On Triple M Friday night, he dropped a no comment on us. Yeah, of all people, he dropped a no comment on us.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Drilling deep with Ross and Jay-Z next, but now it is time for...
You only lose when you sell.
Stock exchange. That's exactly right. It's good advice for everyone out there. You only lose when you sell. So let's get straight into it. This is, you just buy, hold, or sell, Duck. So it's a pretty simple process. I've called with Dwayne Russell many years ago. You've called with Dwayne Russell.
Yes.
Dwayne Russell's a great fella.
Great caller.
He drinks a 2 litre milk every time he calls a game of football out of a cart. Are we buying, holding, or selling that?
Well, I'm actually buying it because he holds it well. He still looks like he's in pretty good nick.
He's got big pipes.
Yeah. Well, that's his nickname, his pipes.
Yes, I don't know enough on hold.
It's a sell for me. Make you very bloated.
I'll update you because I call with him now. He's got rid of the milk, and now he drinks about an 800-mil operation of V and probably at least a full 600-mil Coke.
Ooh.
Plus a couple of Violet Crumbles, and he's in incredible nick. So... he's drinking Coke, eating chocolate. I'm buying.
You know, you're talking about CRISPR, and obviously this is in the same conversation. Some people have genes that, you know, you talk about him not getting injured. Well, he's just got incredible genes. And Pipes has got incredible genes because he can drink a stack of sugar and a stack of milk and still look great.
He does.
Okay. Everybody knows down at the convention centre, you can go down there, you can get your jabs for over 40s at the moment, or most people can walk in there. But we've had a bit of a disruption.
The vaccination hub at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre has been told it has to pack up and move out by the end of June to make way for Sexpo.
So are we buying, holding, or selling that, Duck?
Yeah, I'm buying it.
Buy.
Sell for me.
I know it's a serious issue, but I'm buying.
Yeah. Well done, Howard.
Get Sexpo in there.
Okay. The South Australian Chief Health Officer.
Oh, this is going to be a hard one to buy, Nate.
I'll be kind. I'm holding.
Sell for me, Brownie.
Big sell.
I think she just, you know what? She just got it. She just got it wrong. She just didn't.
2 days in a row, she got it wrong, Duck.
Yeah.
As you would say, Duck, she muffed it.
Okay. Let's get into the next one. Now, we had this one before, but it keeps evolving. And I saw it in the paper again today. The Stewie McGill story just seems to have more layers to it than are we buying, holding, or selling Stewie McGill story?
Hang on, I'm not on top of this. Is this the kidnapping?
Innocent kidnapping.
Because I don't know, I'm prepared to say.
What's the latest chapter, Brownie?
Well, give us a little bit of.
It's just evolving. I'm prepared
to say hold because I don't know enough about it either way.
Yeah. The cynic in me says sell.
I'm buying it. I'm buying it.
Purely because of potential legal issues. I'm taking a pass on this one.
Oh, that's a hold.
Okay. No, it's a pass. I just wanted to get that on the record that I didn't answer the question.
A footy one because we are a footy program.
A hold is a pass, Howie. You're not having a comment. That's why it's buy, sell, or hold.
No, I'm still passing, Duck.
Footy one, because we are a footy program. The Dogs' premiership credentials.
Oh, no, that's a buy.
Selling.
Oh, how come?
It's buy, hold, or sell. Okay. No, but I will. I've watched the Richmond game when they're a high possession team. We know that. We really like how they play. Two things. The pressure's brought them undone. Richmond with a lot out, and Melbourne pulled them apart, and I think they are vulnerable, and it causes some angst, but I think they are vulnerable. Mick Moldau, so I really respect, mentioned that as well, a key defender down maybe.
Mm. Well, if Ross is selling them, I'm selling them.
I'm holding.
Okay, I reckon every one of us has heard stories of war, going back to World War II, World War I, and think it must have been unbelievably hard to be over there, and I would have thought that
everybody's thought, how would have I gone as a soldier? So the question I want to ask about if you were next to Howie, you know, how confident are you next to Howie when his physical presence?
What's his, sorry, can you
just Howie's physical presence in general. You're buying, holding or selling his physical presence.
I think Howie, obviously not physically, not physically blessed. Intimidating, but he has, you know what he has? He has presence. So I'm buying that.
Thanks, Dave.
An intellect to get us out of the tight spots. Buying.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a sell for me.
Right, a cap and short shorts.
Yes.
Every week he comes in and pots me for my physical appearance.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I get an answer?
Yes.
I'm you're buying
big,
yourself.
Big buy.
I'm a massive buy.
Okay.
A huge buy.
Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody is the best both-sided player in the competition, left and right foot.
Ooh. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm holding.
Hold.
Yeah, sell for me.
Well, you've got somebody to replace him at number one if you're selling?
Pendlebury.
Oh, he's... He doesn't want to do the podcast anymore, mate. The podcast
doesn't matter how many nice things you say about him. The jock on Juno's dead, mate. He's not coming. I'm buying.
All right. Dustin Martin entering the top three players of all time in AFL. Before you ask me, yes, you are in it with Lee Matthews.
Well, I'm holding because I've always said this. You can't compare eras. He's certainly a buy for this era right now.
Buy.
Oh, sell. I think I've got Gary Ablett ahead of him.
Oh, hang on. Oh, sorry.
Three Norm Smiths. I'm a big buy.
Yeah, I'm a big buy too. Ross Lyon, prior to the show today, told us that he saw Toby Mitchell in a cafe and told him to take his mask off. Are we buying, holding, or selling that?
That he
actually told Toby to put your mask on.
No, I'm selling that. I don't think Ross told him that.
Oh, that's a big sell, Brownie.
Likes the show, always listening, Ross, to who he is.
And I just happen to be in Clarendon Street.
Yeah. And you saw him.
Pardon?
And you saw him.
I'm very respectful. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Mitchell. I was actually just getting some takeaway Mexican, and Toby walked in, and that's all I mentioned. I was very polite and respectful.
Yeah.
Ross is selling the
yourself
question
there, Brownie.
He's gone. He's lost his way, Ross.
Oh, I think I'm passing on this one as well.
Okay. An Italian artist sold an invisible sculpture. An invisible sculpture. There's nothing there, but they said that it has to be in a private room away from his. So it's in your mind.
It's called The Emperor's Got No Clothes.
$18,000 he sold it for. So it's in your mind. That's what he put up online, $18,000 in an area 5'5" long and wide. Are we buying, holding, or selling that as an investment?
Can you go around and ask the question again?
I'll start. So this bloke has sold something for $18,000 that doesn't exist. I'm a massive buy.
Sell.
Sell.
Not fungible. Sell.
Okay, the Judd Kennedy trade, West Coast are doing better out of it.
Yeah, I saw this on your show this morning, so I've got a little bit of a heads up. I didn't know you were going to ask it, but the fact that I gave it some thought after I heard it this morning. I think Kennedy now is ahead. The fact that they've won the premiership, he's still playing. I think West Coast have won on that deal.
You can't hold Judd accountable for the lack of talent.
No, but in terms of the deal.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just. Yeah. This is my opinion. Judd. So it's a sell that premise.
I'll buy a West Coast part of that deal.
I'm buying our man Juddy at the Blues. What about you?
I am buying. So this is the last one.
Who are you buying?
This is the last one. Rocky III being the best Rocky of the Rocky movies.
Ooh, that's the Mr. T one.
Yep.
I'm actually more inclined. I think I like the two the best. I like the Apollo one probably a little bit better.
Sal, the original. Unbeatable.
It's four. Ivan Drago in the snow. That's the best one, isn't it?
Sure. So I did some research. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm Rocky IV.
I did some research on this, and most people have Rocky, the first one, Rocky, and then the new one, Apollo Creed, number two, and then Rocky III is deemed to be the one that's number three.
Okay. Well, I like two.
I like three.
Four. They're all good. They're all good.
Yeah, that's it.
Good segment, Nate.
Triple M rocks footy.
That was class. Before we get into game preview mode, though, always one of our highest rating segments, and this is what it's called.
The Sunday Rub is drilling deep.
Yes, it is one of our favourite segments, Howie. It's fair to say we try and go a bit deep with the supercoach here in Ross Lyon and what is probably going to be his last season. He was fantastic last year, even better this year, probably cut back in the AFL coaching world next year. So we like to enjoy these segments. And I want to ask you about Michael. He's shaking his head. I want to ask you about...
My favourite topic, yep, go.
Michael Walters, because it is Doug Nicholls... Indigenous round, of course, in the Dreamtime game last year. We'd love to put the Indigenous players on a pedestal because they do provide so much joy and excitement, and their stories are often phenomenal in terms of some of the humble beginnings they've come through and some of the challenges they've faced. And you saw Michael Walters come through the door, Ross, at Fremantle, pick number 53 in the 2008 National Draft. I think he lived in the same street as Chris Yaron and
Nat Nui, yep.
Which
neighbours, yeah, and they played at the same junior club.
Imagine their kick-to-kicks in the street.
Would be handy, wouldn't it?
Would be a nice little YouTube clip. 176 centimetres, currently one of the superstars of the competition. What was it like early days when Michael Walters walked into the football
club? Well, he did debut under Mark Harvey, and I remember he kicked a banana goal against Brisbane, and he had the fist pump going. I thought, gee, this kid's got some talent. It's a pretty special goal, you know. He had a few stamps on him, and... But he'd had a torn posterior and had been struggling with injury pre when I got there. But you tried to build a relationship with all the players. So Sonny is very affable, very outgoing, involved with everything, and had a bit of Sal in him at that time.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, Sonny, you need to do this. Yes, coach. Yes, coach. And then he would text me. He would text me doing this, doing that, and. But then the time trial and the skin folds were going up. They ran 65, 70, 75. And I said, how about you get off the bourbon and cokes, you know? So, and then he'd say, oh, you know, but he'd always be, yeah, I had a few bourbon and cokes. And he had very tight friendship group from, as you said, with Yaron and Nat Nui. But in the community, like where you rely upon each other and you run the streets, and they're a bit mischievous. The law might have chased them a few times for who knows, a bit of graffiti or whatever. So he was in everything, and he found it very hard to separate from his mates and who he'd run around with and the professional life of AFL football. So I gave him the opportunity, and then it got to the point where I thought enough's enough here. This isn't changing. The skinnies and the time trial just wasn't happening.
So how does that conversation go?
Well, it's really
interesting. You're talking about his professionalism?
Yeah, well, we'd worked with him, and I was right, you're done. Right, so I said to Chris Bond, we need to get him in. I'm going to send him away. And Bondy said, whatever you do, don't sit too close. Not within range of the left hook. Right? Because he can really hold his hands up, Sonny, and he's very fiery and very emotional. So yeah. I took the advice. I sat right back, and I just said, you know, and I was new to the club trying to set some standards. Perhaps skinnies were a bit high, so he ran laps. Unless you're on a certain bit, you couldn't join in training. And when I first got there, was eight blokes on the track. I thought, there's something wrong here, you know. And so, you know, I was under a little bit of pressure. So in the end, it was like time to get moving. So I said, right. It was really clear cut. You need to be able to run. I'd seen his PB for a 3K. He could really run. It was like 10:20. I thought, gee, just coming into the system 3 years later, you're punching out 11:30. That's not really tickling my fancy. So it was really clear. 10:30, 3K. Skin folds 50 or below, which was a Dennis Pager measure. Mm-hmm. And you're welcome back, son. Mm-hmm. But don't come back until you know you can achieve them. So
what was his immediate reaction?
The left hook was a sort of fist clench, and he was pretty fiery. He was, but then he stormed out a little bit. But we got to the Steve Grace. You ought to check in with him and support Steve Grace, to his credit, who now was at the Bulldogs, I think, was at Collingwood Development.
Yep.
Worked with him every day. He went back, bloke played at West Coast, then Freo, coached Swan Districts, really. Took him on his wing. So because he was a boxer, he boxed every day and can really train hard in the gym. It's incredible to see him. And he went to Swan District and he trained with the under-19s, the reserves and the seniors. So he's doing three sessions a day. He got his diet right. And he was gone like for 6 weeks or something. And he made the call. I'd like to come back. Okay, we'll do the time trial. He broke 10 minutes 30. Skinnies were under 50. And then, but I didn't make it easy for him. We didn't make it easy. He played 14 games in a row in the waffle.
Wow.
Because we started to go okay in 2012 after a little bit of hiccup, right? So, and everyone was coming, and I was like, no, I don't want to, I want him to understand, I wanted him to create a way of being and doing that was going to last for a long time, right? And we come to play Melbourne, and I reckon he was emergency. It was round 14 in the end. I said, oh, we'll play him now, you know. And he was ready to go. Like, he was starring in the waffle.
And he's in your office every week saying, why aren't you playing?
No. He just left me alone.
Okay.
Left me alone. But the match committee, you know, you could imagine, put him in. Yeah. No worries. When I'm ready. Like, or we're ready with Bondi and the match committee. So we fly to Melbourne. And it's a really interesting bit. I'll never forget the game. So we're playing Melbourne, and they must have been going all right at the time. I can't remember. We're going terribly. I can't remember. And, Anthony Grover, who was playing and, you know, really well respected, and he'd had an injury, and I turned up the, as Wayne would know, you turn up the furnace on him, like pre-game, like, you know, once you cross the white line, son, you're accountable. Like, you need to. Anyway, he pulled out, right? Walters comes in. Melbourne kicks 6-0 in the first quarter or something. I walk down and Sonny's playing. And Chris Bond looked at me and goes, geez, we're in trouble here, son. I said, oh, this isn't good, is it? And then you get to the whiteboard, you get to work, you know. So Sonny, I think, from memory, kicked 3 or 4 goals, but I'll never forget one thing he did. And Cole Sylvia, we with respect, dominated that day. And I think that was a part of us as a club targeting. Sonny, Melbourne were coming back. We come back, Sonny starred, but someone got out, like Green or whoever it was, running down the corridor on his own all the way to the goal square. Sonny saw him from the half forward line, sprinted the centre half back, saw it out to the goal square, defended him in the goal square, and basically won us the game.
Wow. Desperate.
Won us the game. Mm. And that was the review, the trademark review. Have a look at this. So you saw his footy smarts. So this is a kid that's been sent away. Couldn't, you know, everything I just went through, and he's come in, he's saved us the game, he's kicked 3, he's dominated, and then from there he just trains like an animal, to the point we have to say, mate, take it easy. He won't, like, he sprints through the cones, just smashes himself in team training in the gym. So he's incredible, like an absolute pro. Then he starts to conduct the meetings in the reviews, and he's just really blossomed. So and to see him, you know, and I saw his parents after the losing grand final. We had the function at the exhibition centre. I spoke to his mum and dad, you know, and his mum's a Penny on her side, and Dad Walters, and they were just so proud of him. And, you know, but the key to his story, if you asked him what happened, his girlfriend and now wife, partner Marnie, who they got 3 children with, at the time I sent him away, she was pregnant. Mm. She became pregnant. It was about that time. And he was like, right, I got to provide for my family. So we talk about everyone, I talk to players, and all of us, you've got to be clear on your purpose. And AFL football is incredibly tough. Now, if you want it for the money, or you just want to be the best you can be, but you've got to be clear, why am I doing it? Because when it gets tough, AFL footy, if you're not clear why you're there, you just give up, and you walk away, you don't give anything. So he became really clear. He got racially abused at we're playing a waffle team on the build-up, because I was going to watch him, and he really fired up. And I sat with Marnie that day, and she said, you know, thanks for the, I said, he's done it all here, you know. So, and then he fought his way through. So the purpose become clear, he's training, and he just got better and better every year until we really put him in that Dustin Martin role. I think he kicked 44 goals and was averaging 24 possessions. So I think he was an All-Australian, and pretty special kid, pretty special. Mm,
great story.
Great story, Rossi. Great story. Just on the, for all the people that are out there that like to run, when you're saying he had to get under 10 and a half minutes for his 3K, what is elite, what is acceptable, and what is the back of the pack for an AFL footballer for the 3K?
Well, for AFL mids, like at Fitzroy, at St Kilda, we used a, you know, 10:30 and below for midfielders. The best midfielders basically ran 10:10:10. But you had someone like an Adam Goods and a David Mundy that were repeat speed. So they'd trot around in over 11 minutes, you know, over 11 minutes, 11:20s, 11:40s. But if you got them repeat, they can handle lactic. So when you sprint, they get 5 seconds rest. They can sprint again. So that repeat speed. So there's different types. In our day when we come through, it was like they just flog your endurance. But the conditioners have got smarter. If you're a repeat man.
What's the slowest you've seen, Rossi? Just give me your time and then we'll discuss what you're going to know.
Over 3K, someone might have punched out 15 minutes there somewhere. Nope. Yeah, that wasn't a good conversation. Okay. Yeah. Might have been a star recruit, actually.
Ross says
oh, no, I'll tell you, the worst thing I've seen is someone just sort of stop.
Stop on the 3K.
Stop.
Oh, that's not good, mate.
I played with a bloke who did a calf stretch up halfway up Anderson Street Hill. There's no need to be doing a calf stretch.
Who was that, Nate?
No, I'm not.
No, you can't.
It happened. But I'm not going to talk about it.
Is he Captain Fremantle, Michael Walters? And do you think, could he take over from Fife as the...
It's not for me to really talk about him now and what they do and what they value. But certainly, if your leaders are two things, so you've got to be able to perform game day. You've got to be able to play. You've got to have a level of competency that's really high. So he ticks that box. And then you need character. So leadership's character and competency and setting standards. He does those things as well. So for mine, I don't tend to complicate AFL leadership teams too much. Like, train hard, play hard, and carry yourself well. And he ticks those boxes.
Great work, boys. Absolutely fantastic.
Good stuff.
Clarkie, you're off for the rest of the day. Thanks for everything you've done today.
Enjoy, look forward to the call, boys.
Enjoy your ride home.
Clarkie, well done.
We're about to get into the game preview. Off. Carlton versus West Coast, just on the Harvey Norman replay screen for the first time. I just saw an ad for the Olympics, Duck. The Olympics excite me. Looking forward to that. First time I've seen an ad. Is it coming around?
So you're a believer that they should be going ahead then, Harry? Or?
No, it's a completely different question that I'm not equipped to answer, Duck, but I will be happy to watch them on the box.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.